Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. We're continuing on. This is the second, I believe it's tape 58, or show 58, but it's the second in a series we're going to be doing on the keys to the kingdom of God. And again, I would like to, in case somebody out there hasn't heard, I would like to open the door to any of you that wants to do a Bible study, and we can come into your home or place of business, and it's about an hour a week if you want to do it, and I'm open several days a week, and I can show you how to do the original Greek and the Hebrew, but in such a way that a 12-year-old can easily do it. And you can answer many, many questions about creation or the days that we live in or salvation or life itself. And this is not any denomination. This is not any particular church. I'm not affiliated with any church in town. And I'm a Bible teacher. I have been for years, like 36 years. And we go about and we teach the Bible. And the man that started us was Jewish, and he was a Holy Spirit-filled believer, believed in Jesus Christ. You might call him messianic, but he was a son of God. And he used to teach us in our house in a little town of Grants Pass, Oregon, in 1970. And then my wife and I started studying. And I'd take out what he had taught me, and I'd go out and teach other people. Little by little, I learned more and more as I learned the Greek and the Hebrew, and as I learned the Bible. And I didn't learn from any commentary. I just was comparing the Bible with the Bible. Anyway, what I like to do is, if we can find a coffee shop out there that would open its door the same, and it's nice if it's the same day every week, like a Tuesday. Usually doesn't conflict with other, a lot of churches, they'll get together like on Wednesday night and do their Bible studies and so on. So like a Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday or a Thursday would not conflict with a church or whatever. We're not out to do that. We'd love to see unbelievers come, people that don't have a church, people that are looking or seeking and are just interested in knowing more about the Bible. This would be a beginner's class. You can ask any question you want, and I'd love to have a place where we could cover the walls with butcher paper or a couple of walls. We can also get chalkboards with the stands if people are worried about their walls, and hang the butcher paper on that so we don't mar or damage anybody's walls too. So you don't have to worry about that one, but we like to write a lot of things down and make lists as to what God is talking about. So any of you out there that knows of a coffee shop that'd like to host a Bible study every day, let's say every Monday or every Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, you let me know, and my address or phone number is at the end of the show. It will be given. Anyway, I wanted to go back over, before we get started again in the keys to the kingdom, I just wanted to, it is most obvious to all mankind that man is in trouble today, and we've needed a way to come back into God, that God created all. He did it through Jesus, and it was God's design for man to come back into God after the fall. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to bring man back to him. And when God made creation, he saw that it was all good that he had made, but he didn't have anybody to fellowship with. And, you know, it's fish are nice, dogs and cats are great, and so on, but he didn't have anybody like himself that he could have fellowship with or enjoy the company of. And so he created man to be like him in his own image. He created man, and he did it to have company, I believe. And nobody likes an empty house. They want company. And now all the animals, you see, they're not like God. You see, they have to be governed by, and they're governed by laws. And like the laws of a bear. In the wintertime, he will start storing up, and he'll just eat like crazy in the fall and storing up fat because he's going to go find a cave and go hibernate. And I used to be an engineer that also did timber engineering. I used to put on a lot of hats. Sometimes you do surveying, sometimes you build a road, and sometimes we did timber engineering, and that was most fun. And there was this tale of a Forest Service gentleman that saw this cave, and there was a lot of caves in Southern Oregon. As a matter of fact, I used to work in one called the Oregon Caves. They were marble, and that was a fun job. But anyway, he saw this dark hole in the ground, and he didn't have a flashlight, and he thought, well, maybe sometime I'll come back and explore this thing, and maybe I found another cave like the Oregon Caves. So to see how deep it was, he threw some rocks down in there, and you know, he couldn't hear those things hit the bottom. So finally, he and his friend gathered around the hole and blocked out all the light that was there, and sleeping in this little cave that wasn't very deep at all was a bear. So they, but it was pretty deep in hibernation, and so they got out of there. Anyway, they lived to tell this story. It's a pretty funny story. Anyway, so, you know, bear, you want to have fellowship with a, well, a bear sleeps the winter away. That wouldn't be much fun for God. But all animals are governed by these laws, like geese. Some birds make flights when they go south in the winter and go back up north in the summer. They might go from one continent to another, and it's just absolutely amazing. Some of the birds, actually, one of the biggest flyways is right through Israel. I don't know if you knew that or not. But God was looking for true fellowship, and so he created man in his own image, and he actually created man perfect. He was absolutely perfect. And the only thing is that even though he was perfect, he only had one command to keep, and that was not to eat of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden. Well, he transgressed that one law, and as a result, Adam, he bore a son after his own fallen image, and his name was Seth, and that's found, I believe, in Genesis 5, and from then on, there's just been nothing but problems. But since that time, man has been under a curse, and God cursed the serpent, Nashash, and God cursed the ground. And, of course, Adam, when God held him to account, he first thing he wanted to do is blame his wife, and that hasn't quit, has it? So men just want to keep blaming their wives, and the wife blamed the serpent, and the serpent, he's been mad ever since. But anyway, so this curse has been on man since that time. And we went over the last time, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, sin, there's two types of sin in the Bible. One is a transgression of laws. And we know today, most men will realize that we are in a sinful or lawless state today. So people today, you can make all these civil laws and men just break them right and left. Even government officials and their kids and so on break these laws, and it's embarrassing for people. But this type of sin is a different type of a sin. It's actually an archery term. We went over this on the last tape. You can go over it again. It's the Greek word amartia. And for all have missed the mark, they missed the bullseye and fall short of what is called the glory of God. Now, the glory of God, we found out, actually has to do with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, we want to go a little further into this about God and man and the creation. Again, you can go over the scriptures that we read in the last tape, which is number 57. That's the first in this series. Anyway, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let me turn there real quickly. And God said, and this is the plural God, at least two, and more than likely three, probably God the Son, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I would assume, got together and they said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. Let us make man exactly like we are. And so we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we have three parts, just like God is three and he is one. And yet we are three and we are one also. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Elohim, the plural God, said, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord. And so the Spirit, and we know, and I've done another tape on this, if you go to John 4:24, God in one place that we know of, I don't think there are very many more, might be the only place, he tells about himself and what he is made up. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John 4:24. We also know in Colossians 1:15 that God is invisible, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And anyway, so God made man. We know God is a spirit, and he is invisible. And we know that no man is like that. Nobody that I've known is invisible. Did you know? Oh, this is a fun one. They actually have created a veil that will make a person invisible, that'll bend light around you. Now, I don't know exactly what it looks like if the trees are kind of wavy. Let's say you're looking at the person, he's standing in front of the trees, whether they look kind of wavy like they try to show on TV, but they're actually doing this. Isn't that amazing? And they tried in World War II. It was called the Philadelphia Experiment. But this is a regular newspaper. This is API. And someday, especially if we do a coffee shop get together, I'll bring these slides of the different newspaper articles I get, and I get them out of just mainstream newspaper articles. I don't use the Inquirer or any of that stuff. And I'm not too much on the religious magazines and so on, because some of them, now I know some are pretty straightforward, like with Larry Bates and News and Views. He tends to tell it pretty much like it is, but there are some religious publications that like to help God out. And believe me, God doesn't need any help. And so I like to even use the secular newspapers because they're just so much fun, because they all really prove God, and they try not to prove God, which is pretty funny. So anyway, they've actually developed, and they're getting closer to invisibility. Now, they've made planes invisible to radar and submarines and so on. And this is going to be interesting, what's going to happen with this latest development. Maybe marriage counselors need that so they can go sneak into the houses and watch people fight to see what's really going on when they have to counsel people in marriage. I just made that one up, but that could be a good use for it. Anyway, this is God. And so God is a spirit and he is invisible. And he said, let us make man in our image. So that's how they started, and it even says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may your whole spirit, soul, and flesh be preserved blameless. So then we are made according to God's image, and that is found in 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and so on. And God, in 2:7 of Genesis, and the Lord Yahweh God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living being. So the soul is the breath and the flesh, of course. And so you wonder, let's say in this creation, if the spirit is God's likeness, and because God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, well, a man's soul is his awareness, and that would be like the Holy Spirit. And then Christ came in the flesh. I wonder if our original flesh was not Christ-like, without sin, perfect. And so we bore the image of God the Father in our spirit, God the Holy Spirit in our soul, in our mind, and we bore the image of Jesus in our bodies. We were perfect, you see. We were with God, and God saw us as perfect, without blemish, and we only one command to keep. Well, anyway, the fall occurs in chapter 3, the fall of man, and I don't know if we have time to go through all of it, but he was told of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden of God, said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Now, we know good and well that they did not die in the sense of oblivion. They just, you know, were not dust. But something happened to them. They did die. They became separated from God, you see. So because of this, starting in 3 verse 14, and God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and every beast of the field, and so on, and on your belly you will go. And this is why the Jews kosher things, is because they feel like the 18 inches above the ground is the realm of Nashash. And that's where a lot of disease is on the ground. Part of this curse is death. And man was created to be eternal. And so man was cursed, and also the wife, that God would greatly multiply her pain in childbirth. Now, I didn't get a chance to do this in creation. I am so sorry, but let me put something forth here. Woman must have had children before the fall, because God says her pain was going to be greatly increased in childbirth. So before the fall, if Adam and Eve had children, they would be sons of God. They'd be perfect. And then after the fall, they would be sons of men. They would be imperfect or fallen. And before the fall, they would be full of God the Father, full of God the Son, and full of God the Holy Spirit. And they would live forever. And look at how long they lived. Methuselah lived 969 years. Well, then after the fall, the sentence of death came on man. He was separated. God kicked him out of the garden, put a cherub with a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life, so man could not eat of it and live forever in that condition. And so man was kicked out. And then there came a time when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And I think what you had is you had people that were Holy Spirit filled marrying fallen men, and that really caused problems. And then it wasn't much later, and then the flood, you see. And so her pain would be multiplied in childbirth. But if she had never given birth to a child, what is 1 times 0? Well, it's 0. So if it's going to be multiplied, it has to be something. What's 1,000,000 times 0? Well, it's still 0. So she might have had There might have been thousands of people on the earth before the fall, and they fell somewhere, I'm going to just guesstimate, around 100 years after their creation. That's just a big fat guess. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what you think about that one too. Anyway, you can call me up and tell me your ideas and tell me where the scriptures are that you base that on, if you would please. Anyway, the death brought about separation from God, but what happened as a result of sin is man was left, he was cursed indeed, and the death was the fact that he was left with a big void right in the middle of him where the Holy Spirit should have been. He had a huge old void, and it probably made him feel, well, it did make him feel naked because he lost the glory, the covering. It made him feel naked and empty and dead. And even though he was still living, he had no, there was no righteousness or peace and joy. And it had left man, you see. And then God drove man out of the east of the garden. He stationed cherubim with a flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. And then there was troubles right after that with Abel and his brother Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. Now, God was the creator. Through, and Jesus would be the hands, let's say, according to the scriptures. Jesus actually did the creation. He was the hands. And man was created through God. And man fell. But God, knowing this, I believe, in advance, he made Jesus in advance to be the way back for us to come back in and to come back home. I don't know of any better way to say that but to come back home. So this is going to be the story of the greatest homecoming that you've ever known. So the things I wanted to review before we get started next time is Romans 3:23, all have missed the mark. It's an archery term, sinned, amartia, missed the mark. And they fall short of the glory of God, the doxē. And in Romans 6:4, we know that the doxē, the glory of God, raised Jesus from the dead. We read that. Romans 8:11, it was the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. And in 2 Peter 4:14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed or happy because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. The Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God are one and the same because of the way it's stated here, that idiom it uses, the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So we can go back to Romans 3:23 and say without a shadow of doubt that all have sinned, all have missed the mark, because they do not have the Holy Spirit of God within them. And this will be the story of the homecoming to come back into fellowship with God. Until we meet again, may God lead you back into fellowship with Himself. In Jesus' name.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque 87193. Or call us toll free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.